Uh-huh.
They call me
Jeans.
I wear them.
Jeans, hi.
Bam.
Bam. Mommy, you've been watching entirely too much football this season. You have been.
I'm sorry.
No, you sit and you watch for hours, and I don't get the love and the pets that I deserve.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This is a special edition of Your Mom's House. You might have not put it together. But this is you're going to get a double dose of that, mommy. This week, you're getting this on a very special day. This is right before the election. This is our election episode. But we'll doubly plug where we're going to be coming up. Where are you going to be, Jeans?
Shit, Jeans. Okay, so I just got a last minute addition. I'm going to be at the Chicago Improv.
Improv. That's a new club.
The cousin of the Improv.
Mm-hmm.
The Improv, November 8th through 11th, the Schaumburg, Illinois, which is actually called Chicago Improv.
Right, but it's outside of Chicago.
It is outside. It's a suburb.
I'm not confused, if that's what you're asking.
It's a suburb. And then the next week, I'm going to be... Oh, shit. I don't even remember where I'm.
That's how you do
a cold medicine brain.
Yeah, we're working hard for you guys,
crazy.
Man.
Oh, Hartford, Connecticut. The following week, I will be in Hartford, Connecticut.
You got to say Hartford. What up to my boy, Matty Stowe, when you're out there, okay?
Oh, of course.
He's going to pick you up. I will be, let's see, this week, you guys can see me. I'm in the Death Squad Ohio tour. I hope you're coming out. Dayton, Cincinnati, and Columbus. If you go to TomSegura.com, you go to the live shows. I have links to all the venues. It's small venues. So this is a very, private, intimate kind of thing. And I got the great Red Band with me. Tony, what's his name?
Oh, my God. I just broke a box.
Oh, shit. What's Tony's last name? Henchcliffe. And then in Columbus, the great Doug Benson will join us. So...
That's
going to be a lot of fun. And
people can be so close to you, they can hear your guts gurgling the way I can hear
you.
Yeah,
they gurgle all the time.
Yeah.
And then I'll also be Jeans It Up. where will I be?
Nobody jeans in around.
I'm going to be in Madison, Madtown, Madison Comedy Club on State Street, November 15, 16, 17. And I just got added, people have been always asking me, Northern California. I'm coming to San Francisco.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, right before Christmas, the 21st, 22nd, 23rd. So
that's
if
fun.
You're staying in San Francisco for the holidays, come see your boy at Cobb's 21st or 23rd. I think I'm going to be up there with Chris Porter, who's a friend of ours, and that should be a lot of fun.
I might come with you and do guest spots.
Uh-oh, did you just hear that? are you ready to start the show?
This is so exciting. Let's do it, Mommy.
This is the mother of a show here.
Hello, citizens. This is BasilMarceau.com. I'm your Republican candidate for governor of Tennessee. I want you to put me in this building, the Capitol behind me here, so I can do my issues.
This shit is big time!
Who is Randy?
Don't bring anyone loving to this.
Your mom in the fucking sand!
Welcome to Your Mom's House with Tom Segura, and
Christina Pajitza.
Welcome to Your Mom's House.
That was the Tennessee guy?
Yeah, man.
Not doing a lot to stop those negative stereotypes about toothless Tennessee guys, huh?
That guy's incredible. That's Basil Marceau. I would never found a known. I mean, it was a pretty popular clip, but I finished, and it's airing now. This web show I did for Comedy Central that Kyle Kinane is hosting, called 30 Seconds Over Washington. And if you go to the if you just Google 30 Seconds Over Washington,
just Google it.
Yeah, so Google it, or you go to the Indecision page on Comedy Central. You look it up. It's everywhere now. It was in USA Today.
Oh, get out.
Yeah, so it actually blew up a little bit.
Oh, that's awesome.
So I worked on that shit for months.
I know. It was a long project. You were writing on that we were in Africa.
Yeah, and I was also writing on it about a month and a half before we left to Africa.
I know.
And for about a month and a half after Africa. But it was a lot of fun, and it's really funny. And it's basically we pull all types of campaign ads from the last 30 years, 40 years, 50 years, and including, you know, all the stuff going on now. Kyle hosts it, and he's phenomenal. And Mike Bridenstine also wrote on it, and it was really funny. And that was one of the, I mean, we used an extended version of that clip, but the guy's ridiculous, and it's just a funny show.
Oh, I remember when you were pulling clips, and I'd walk in, you're like, you have to see this. Everyone is crazier than the one before it. They're great.
Yeah, so that's pretty exciting. Please check that out if you can, and, you know, leave a comment. It'd be fun. This is our special, you know, changing of the guard, possibly. This is the presidential election episode of Your Mom's House. Who is more in tune with what's going on in politics than your two mothers?
Yes, of course. I follow it. I'm a rabid political fanatic.
CNN-er. You love it. There's not Candy really. Crowley. There's the other lady. And then there's you.
I know so little about politics. And in all honesty, because I know who I'm going to vote for. I know what's on my agenda. I know where I'm at. And I feel like...
I think most people are like... Actually, most people are like that. Don't you think?
Well, yeah. I don't know. I mean, yeah. I guess. I don't know what most people... All I know is that I feel like I don't even know what information is real. And like you can't even watch... You don't even know what the facts are. Because Fox News reports it one way. CNN reports it another way. I just feel like it's all smoke and mirrors, Tommy.
I hear you. Doesn't it make you cynical, too, about that world?
It does a little bit. Yeah, because I feel like it's all the same, except with different people, different players.
But then it's hard to not be that. You know, it's hard to not be like, this is all bullshit.
I mean, I know.
But here's what I mean when I say that I think most people are like that. Most people, you realize that all the campaigning that you see, everything, the ads and all that, that's not for the, let's say, the pool of voters. That's for the 6-7% who could be swayed. That's who decides elections. Right. Because most people are like you. And they're like me and they're like everybody. Most people.
Right, like I got it. I know what I'm for.
Most people are like, I'm this or I'm that. And then there's that 6-7% that'll be like, you know, I'm going to switch. I'm going to go this way or that way. That's who it's for. Isn't that crazy? When you think about all that money is spent for that percentage.
Yeah, it is, but it's also kind of awesome. And it's really awesome when people take life by the balls and they pull really hard and they decide to run for president as the first person that we're going to bring out to be interviewed is. But
you know what else happens when you pull life by the balls?
What's that?
You move from one house to another.
Before we get there,
we are not even
well,
there.
Well, because here's the reason I say that, just because I don't want to be cynical. And after talking to that person who we're going to bring up today,
we have for real in a few moments, in a few minutes, we have one of the presidential candidates on the show.
Yeah,
and this is not a joke.
No, this is for reals. And after talking to this person, I realized that my cynicism is fucking lame. Why am I so cynical? Why shouldn't I try? Why shouldn't I care? Because I care about issues and I talk about them on
stage. It's also easy to be cynical, right?
It's easier. It's lazier to just not give a shit, and it's harder to try.
Yeah. Yep.
But anyways, I feel, you know what it is? I feel defeated because we've spent the last week in moving hell packing.
We're both beat down, literally, figuratively. Like, on the episode that you heard last week, I was like, I was barely getting through it. I'm kind of coming to the end of it. You now have it.
Now I have your AIDS.
You have my AIDS. We also are physically and mentally drained from just the, you know, if you've moved, you know what it's like. And this was a big move for us, as you know, moving truck, hiring movers, and, you know, all the bullshit that goes involved and transfer. I haven't even transferred half the shit I need to transfer.
No. We just came here yesterday. We just moved.
We got here and we're in a room. We're surrounded by boxes.
It smells like box. You know that box smell.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. And priority number one was unpack. Remember, like, how much we were like, the podcast shit goes in the car, not in the moving truck. No. And we set it up first thing.
We haven't even set up our bed properly.
I know.
But the podcast, first and foremost.
Yeah.
You know what's fucking really crazy is because we packed up the kitchen a couple of days ago. We've just been eating out of restaurants just in the last 3 or 4 days now. I've already gained, I would say, like 7 pounds just eating out of the house.
I know.
Just eating like tacos, burritos,
just restaurant
food.
After restaurant. Yeah. Yeah.
Fucking fatter than ever. I feel like shit.
Can I tell you what I'm happy about?
What's that, Jeans?
This morning, I feel like I got my dick back.
Right.
I had a real dick scare the other day when we moved.
You've never had that before.
So here's what happened. I'm standing in the house and the movers come in, and then I go take a leak, and I notice walking around that my peener is really in withdrawal. Mm. In other words, it's not just hanging low. I mean, hanging high, tiny. Mm. The head is retracting into my body, where it looks like I'm uncircumcised, and it's like shriveling. Like I almost feel like somebody put a spell on it, and I get scared, and I keep pulling the sheath around the side and making the head pop out because it makes me feel better. No, the head's out, and it keeps going back in. And I pulled you to the side, and I said, "Hey, I think my dong's shrinking."
Right, but you and I said, "Well, let me see it." We were in the kitchen, and the movers were moving in the living room. And you refused to show me.
I didn't want to show you.
I
felt shameful.
I can't show this to you right now.
It was a new level of, like, you know, there's like every guy knows, like, I'd like a little more juice in this right now. You know, you fluff it, you give it the old like, you give it a couple smacks, and it grows a little bit.
Right.
This was levels smaller than that, where it was like something's going on.
Like a baby peener?
It looked like a small, not quite a baby peener. It looked like a fetal peener. So I got nervous. But then we were talking about it later.
Yeah.
And you had a good theory. I think you're right. I think
it's fight or flight.
It was fight or flight, and here's why. There was 4 strange men in my home.
Mm-hmm.
And my wife was around, and it was caveman shit where my brain was telling my dong, this is, look, you're always thinking about this stuff. This is not the time.
Right.
And it was like, you need to protect your home and protect
your woman and your property. I think that was a primal, exactly.
And I was doing all kinds, like, running.
You were
phone.
Watching the cave opening to make sure that animals don't come in and take your woman and your property and your land.
Yeah.
You were managing the other alpha males in the pack and the tribe.
Yep.
And your body said to you, "Hey, dummy. Now is not the time for boners."
Right.
We're shutting down the boner factory. And you're going to not think about your dick for maybe a whole day. How's that feel?
Yeah.
But you didn't think about your genitals for...
Well, I thought about... But you're right. I didn't have cock thoughts.
Cock thoughts, right. You weren't thinking, who can I shove this in now? Whose mouth will accept my penis?
Right.
Where can I put this? Your constant thought pattern, right? I'm assuming it's nonstop for you.
Right, right.
Where can I put my dick? Where, where?
Right. And you actually, because I was like, is something wrong? You're like, no, stupid.
Yeah.
Here's what's going on. And then a great thing happened about 5 or 6 this morning. I got up, I go to the bathroom. I take a leak and I go, I got my dick back.
Oh, I'm so happy.
It was out of its scared state. And then I was just having just crazy cock thoughts.
What can you share? I mean,
I just
know
was
you don't
like,
want to share with your
I
wife.
I was fired up, but I mean, I just was like ready to, I mean, I knew you were like, oh, I'm sick, so I couldn't like wake you up, but I just want.
Well, I appreciate, first of all, thank you for not waking me up while I was feeling ill.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
To penetrate me. That was really considerate of you.
But I just feel like, you know, I just kind of need something, if you don't mind, someone or some, you know, a couple people to just like a cum dog, you know, like a something to just be there.
Come here, cum dog.
Yeah.
And then but not an actual dog.
A person.
Person.
But
right.
I'm nicknaming the person, you know,
a cum dog.
A cum dog. Yeah.
Okay.
Where that's like their, do you know what I mean? Like somebody like everybody has. Like, you know, there's different services, different service industries. This is somebody who's just
like
there
it's like a foot massage for your peener.
Right. That's called a foot job.
And oh, okay. And we could hire maybe some third world person.
Yeah.
Well, we could keep them in our home in a small room.
Can we put a maybe put a call out to our listeners if you want to sign? Hey, if anybody wants to sign up to be my cum dog,
oh jeez,
I'll give you a poster.
Oh jeez, poster.
We got to figure out some way to give away. I have a cool poster to give away.
Oh yeah,
it's a big poster, and we can both sign it, and it's massive.
Okay, well, we have to think of something for people to do, though.
I know.
You can't just give away a life size Tom Segura poster.
It's a huge poster. I don't know what to do.
Can I tell you that you know what's so funny is that. The thought of you having a sexual servant, it's not like when I'm feeling like I am right now and I'm just out, I'm miserable.
It appeals to you, doesn't it?
Well, because I'm like, you know what? What's the big deal?
Yeah.
Someone's going to service my husband so I don't have to right now. I don't feel good.
Yeah.
No harm, no foul. She's not going to produce her offspring.
No.
That's my job. Right. I'm the bottom bitch.
Right.
And
you're the vessel.
I'm the vessel through which your child will come into the world eventually one day.
Sure. It's just a cum dog.
It's just a filthy cum.
And look, I'll put her on a leash. I'll walk her around. I'll feed her.
Yeah.
And then out back, I go, I got something out back. And you know what that means. And then a few minutes later, I come back and I go, all the plants are trimmed. And you know what happened.
It's implicit. Yeah. Now, do I get to have a cum dog, a Puerto Rican boy?
You don't want a cum dog.
How do you know that?
Because I know you.
How do you know I don't have needs for a Puerto Rican pool boy?
Because there's the thing about being a woman is that not you.
Let me hear this magic. Yeah.
The guys
tell me you
want
them.
To be milked 24/7. And we pull back sometimes. I pull back all the time, saying what I want.
Okay.
And that's why the cum dog comes in play. And that's a good thing to have. But as a woman, is there really times where you're like, I wish I could ask Tom to bang one out, but I just can't? No, there's not. So you don't need one.
But there's times when you're on the road, you're going to be out on the road now for the next week, and I'm all alone.
Touché, my friend.
In this new home full of boxes. They're so heavy. I can't lift all these boxes. I need a Puerto Rican guy to lift it for
man.
Me.
The problem is, though, you can't trust dudes. That's the problem with getting you a
See,
man.
See, so it's not me that's the problem. It's dudes.
Dudes are the problem. That's right. Yeah, no, it's true. You can't, because I can get you a female cum dog. She can. You can just squat on her box, or she can squat on your box or something like that.
But then the problem, we'd fight all the time. Broads are...
But it's not your significant other. It's just a cum dog. It's just out there. You know what? We can share the same cum dog. How about that?
I don't want to share your cum dog.
What? She's out back. She's tied up. She's tied up to the yard post. Just go back there.
I'm not sharing a cum dog.
You go back there. You sit on her face.
No.
And then you come back to the house.
Babe.
And this is our special
terrible
presidential edition. All right.
My favorite spring cleaning takeaway is the post-clean clarity you get. Wow, how have I been living like this? It's kind of like when you find out that you've been paying a fortune for wireless when Mint Mobile has phone plans for $15 a month when you purchase a 3-month plan. More like, wow, how have I been affording this? It's time to switch to Mint Mobile and get unlimited talk, text, and data for $15 a month. We use Mint Mobile at the office and we have been saving so much money since switching over. And setting up a Mint Mobile's website was super easy. To get this new customer offer and your new 3-month unlimited wireless plan for just $15 a month, go to mintmobile.com/mom. That's mintmobile.com/mom. Cut your wireless bill to $15 a month at mintmobile.com/mom. $45 upfront payment required equivalent to $15 per month. New customers on first 3-month plan only. Speeds slower above 40 gigabytes on unlimited plan. Additional taxes, fees, and restrictions apply. See Mint Mobile for details. Your sex life is important, but your schedule is busy. You don't have the time to go to a doctor's office to get treated for your erectile dysfunction. Through Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door.
Hims is changing men's health care by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment, options such as chewable hard mints, brand-name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and 100% online. No uncomfortable doctor's visits. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/YMH. That's hims.com/YMH for your personalized ED treatment options. hims.com/YMH. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies based on product and subscription plan.
All right. Now, Jeans, why don't you introduce our special
actual presidential candidate?
Yeah.
Well, let's talk about how this came about.
It's
a long story, but here's the short of it. We do absentee ballots because we travel so much, and I was filling out my absentee ballot and I was like, holy motherfuck, Roseanne Barr is on this. And
on the actual ballot, not like when people are like, not a newspaper article,
right.
Like, here's people running for president.
Right,
this is like
real.
The ballot that you're filling out. This is a real candidate now.
Right, and also most people think, and I had known that she was running, you know, but you think like, oh, a comedian running for president, how funny and cool is that? And then you think it's a joke, but she's been at this for like 14 months. And then to see the ballot, you're like, oh my God, this is like legit. She's really doing this.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
So, hold on.
You don't make it to the ballot with just like, I'd like to do this. It's, you know what I mean?
It's so hard. It's so hard to become a presidential candidate. She filled out all this paperwork and did all this hard work. And so anyway.
She filled out all this paperwork.
No, no, I'm sorry. That sounded so stupid.
Yeah.
No, Kate, here's why I say that. I'm sorry. I'm so retarded.
She got a mortgage. You know, she filled out all the paperwork.
You got to pick up a pencil. You got to sharpen it. No, here's how I meant to say that, because I know, first of all, let me back it up. I'm friends with the family. I grew up with Roseanne's daughter. We've been best friends since we were like 12 years old.
Yeah.
So I knew about this whole thing for a while. But you know when someone tells you like, oh, you know, my Aunt Sheila's running for president. You're like, yeah, sure she is. Crazy Aunt Sheila just running, you know. So her assistant, Becky, was like, you wouldn't believe how much paperwork it is to nominate someone to become a candidate for the presidency. And she was sitting down telling me like the amount of paperwork you have to do. And I was like, oh, it sounds like the worst thing ever. So that's why I said it's a lot of paperwork, because I remember her telling me about the amount of paperwork. So anyways, we got a hold of Roseanne and she agreed to have an interview with me and talk about her candidacy for president.
And look, we're going to stop this at certain points, but we thought this is a real presidential candidate, and it's pretty cool that she agreed to come on your mom's house. And so we're going to play the interview in full, and you know, just kind of go throughout it
and just so you know, like, I totally expected it to be way more like lighthearted and funny, and I was kind of startled because she was so legit. Like, if I was,
because you forgot you're talking like in this
candidate.
Case she's a real presidential candidate.
I know her as her and not as this, so I was a little like, oh my gosh, this is real.
Yeah.
And she's so passionate and so well-spoken and articulate about
she's
it.
She's really into this, man.
And
this is
I'm
no joke.
Just a bag of dope, as usual.
All right.
So.
Well, here is Roseanne Barr and Christina talking about her run for the presidency. And that's not it.
we're running on fumes.
Yeah. We're pretty worn down, guys.
Well, let's say it again.
That's Christina not knowing how to use
it. Oh, that's me asking, because the recording says this call's been recorded. I didn't know if Roseanne heard it
when she
picks up.
Yeah.
Because I'm a fucking newbie.
Hello? Hi, it's Christina.
Hi, Christina.
How are you
how
doing?
Are you?
Good, how are you?
Thank you.
Good. Where are you? Are you in Hawaii or are you in L.A.?
No, I'm in L.A.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, thank you for doing this. This call's being recorded, just so you know.
Yeah, I just gathered that when it said this call's being recorded.
Well, I'm a fucking asshole.
I'm calling you because I got my ballot in the mail, my absentee ballot, and I was like, holy shit, Roseanne's on this, which is crazy for many
reasons.
Did
you not know? I thought you knew.
I did know, but I didn't really, you know how it doesn't sink in until you see it in writing and you're like, oh my God, this is real. And I mean, people know you as a comedian, but I also know you in real life. So this is like a double whammy. This is so crazy. How did this come about?
Well, after a lot of work, about 14 months of like really pushing, getting, you know, filling out a lot of papers, going to commissions, going to the state.
Paperwork.
Like doing a lot of work.
There you go.
And having a lot of people do the work for me and around me. Getting vetted, you know, tons of work. What it takes to get on the ballot is kind of the point of why I did it. It's arduous, and you've got to know the right people, and you have to push the right buttons and all that stuff. It's pretty much set up to keep anybody like me from getting on, but yet I had such smart people on my team that I was able to do it.
Yeah, but it's so, I love it. I think it's so great, because if it's one thing I love, it's sticking it to the man and doing it your way, and that's so why now? Like, why go into politics now? What prompted you?
Well, I've always been, like, peripherally involved and interested in it, and just, you know, it increased over the years, particularly when I've always been really afraid of Romney. I'm from Salt Lake City, Utah, so I've always been horrified of Romney, and I kind of made a vow that if Romney was anywhere near the ballot, I was going to be right next to him.
I love when somebody, a lot of times people make these vows in life, just with situations, like they'll be like, oh, you know, if Obama gets reelected, I'm moving to Canada,
right,
shit like
right.
that. But I love that she really, she took one of those kind of throwaway sentences that you would
yeah.
come up with, and she went full, like, she was like, if Romney runs for president, or if he gets, I'm going to be right next to him. That's how much I hate somebody.
Oh, it's so awesome.
I really do respect that a lot. Yeah.
And she just overeat up in a major way and was like, I don't like this guy so much.
Yeah, I'm going to
do it. I'm going to run for president.
More than anything... To get to where she is right now, that's just a lot of work.
Didn't she say paperwork?
And you know what? I take back everything I said.
It's paperwork.
About paperwork, because this is mostly about paperwork.
It is about it. No one likes, comedians especially don't like paperwork.
Comedians
believe
are lazy. That's
not
part,
Roseanne, man.
No.
Except for...
All comedians are lazy, even Roseanne. Like, we are inherently lazy. Absolutely. Every comedian's lazy. That's what makes this that much more... you know, impressive as a task, because we don't like to do stuff.
But isn't it a trip to hear her talking like so official right now? You're like, oh my gosh.
Yeah. Here we go.
This is the same person who's so funny. And
yeah.
And so that's kind of what pushed me, because that guy is, you know, he's just somebody I want to oppose. I don't like any of his policies. I don't like him. I don't like the people who, I don't like, what the people who support him stand for and say. So, you know, I just want to get in his face.
I love it.
And also, honestly, because I've given a lot of thought to problems in our country, and I, you know, instead of doing what other people in America do, which is just to sit on their ass and blame other people, I decided to confront it straight on and actually come up with solutions out of my own mind, not a book, not a playbook, not a Republican or Democratic, guru. I made up my own solutions. I did a lot of research and I did a lot of reading, and I feel like I am uniquely qualified to sit in the Oval Office more than any other candidate on the ballot. Seriously, because I've figured out how to fix all of the problems our country and largely the world faces. And if you want to read about those, you can go to my website, RoseanneWorld.com. All of my ideas, all of my speeches, all of my platform, all of my history is there. And also another one, RoseanneForPresident2012.org.
Well, you know, she does also have the quality that anybody that runs for president has to have. And this means, I mean, across the board, especially the like people that get far in it. You have to have tremendous faith in yourself.
Oh, yeah.
And you have to have a tremendous ego to run for, to be president, just to have the aspiration to get there.
Right. You know? To be a performer, you have to have an ego.
Of course.
To lead a nation and...
Well, the world.
It's a lot of responsibility.
That's not a jab. Like, that's what, I mean, Obama, our current president, has said this in interviews, like, yeah, you know, I have a huge ego. Like, it's not like a surprise to say that if you run for president, you have a huge ego, you know?
Right, but I think she also has a pretty good sense of responsibility. It's not just, like, a mindless, like, power-hungry thing. She really cares.
I'm just saying that you have to really, like... To make claims like I can solve the world's problems,
you know, I love
that's
it.
Pretty like I love extreme,
it.
Right?
I love it.
That also has all of my positions, all of my writing, all of my speeches, and you know, all of my solutions. So, if anybody's truly interested in investigating what I stand for and why I'm running and what I'm saying, they might want to do that. Since I did make it to the ballot, they might want to be interested in.
I'm totally curious now, by the way, to read all this stuff.
I did today. It was pretty great. It's great.
What, all her, what yeah. she's doing? I'm totally curious.
You got to look at, there's
and
a PDF.
I know nothing about it.
There's a PDF. It shows how she had to submit for this, like all the paperwork you're talking about.
All the paperwork,
and
man.
And you can read in great detail her positions.
I want to know what her positions are on things. I absolutely do.
She'll tell you a little bit in here.
What I represent and who I represent for.
Yeah, I agree. That Mitt Romney is a real demon seed. I don't know. Have you heard what that awesome Richard Murdoch just said about rape?
Well, I just, you know, hear the increasingly more ridiculous stuff that the Republicans say every single day. So what was the latest thing that you're talking about?
So Richard Murdoch, he's the Indiana Senate candidate, and he said, this is his quote, about rape, even when life begins in that horrible situation of rape, that is something that God intended to happen.
Oh, yeah, I've heard that one. I just want people to know, if they go to my website, to also read that they're in 31 states. Another fact is there are 31 states where if you are impregnated by rape, your rapist... can, if you are unable to have an abortion, which, you know, that's what the Republicans want, then your rapist can co-parent the child that you carry.
This is so crazy. This is so insane.
So awful.
That is a reality. I cannot get over
I wonder
that.
What state she's talking about. It's got to be some
31.
Real. That's, oh, shit.
31 states.
I was so shocked by the other part. I didn't even hear the number when she said that to me. I'm like, that is bananas.
In 31 states, the rapist has rights to the child. So you might want to take a look at that, too. And, of course, nobody talks about that either, but that's also on my page. And just Google it if you don't believe me.
Hey, there you
31
go.
31 states.
There
you go. Google
she Googles it, too, man.
Mm-hmm. If a woman's raped and unable
that's
to get an abortion, then
stat.
You have to go to court with your rapist so they can have visitation for the child that you birth by force in this free United States of America, the land of the free.
Whoa, man. Mm. Whoa.
Can I tell you, though, because I, you know, when I was doing this interview, like I get to listen to it now.
Mm-hmm.
And I really admire, Roseanne's of a different generation. She's of like the 60s and the 70s, of like these people that actually gave a shit generation.
You can hear that she is passionate.
Right, like our parents
I believe her passion. Yeah.
Right. And I miss that. I don't feel like we get that. I don't think our people our age give a shit as much as people her age.
There's more apathy in...
People like me, they're like, I don't know, I don't
cynical,
fucking get
yeah,
it,
yeah,
I don't
yeah,
know
yeah,
anything.
There's a lot of cynicism. Yeah.
I gotta change. She's inspiring me.
Yeah?
Yeah.
That's good.
Yeah.
Let's see what else she has. So this is presidential candidate Roseanne Barr.
It's unbelievable.
It is, but it is believable, and people should start believing it instead of shaking their heads and saying, this is unbelievable. No, it's not. No, it's not. It's not unbelievable at all. It's reality.
Yes, it is, and it's very scary, and I'm glad that you're running and actively doing something about it as opposed to just sitting around and hating it like I do.
That's really what women are trained for, is to just sit back and be victims and complain. But that, not
it.
Me. I've never been that way, and I never will be that way. And, I really advise other women to not continue to be that way either.
Mm-hmm.
Even you, Christina.
No, and
you're not that way, Christina.
Yeah.
You're out there doing things, and you're a comic, and comic is a, pretty much a holy... It's a holy mission, and I've seen your comedy, and, you're taking it right to the edge, and I'm proud of you for that. So don't put yourself down. You are being political.
Aww,
you are being active. You are speaking out. You are staying aware. And, you're doing what you need to do.
I mean, how great is that?
The approval.
Don't you love it?
I need maternal approval so bad.
And that was so nice that Roseanne Barr said that.
She's a nice lady. I really
you got
like
a
her.
You got a plug from one of the greats right there, man.
I know.
It's pretty nice.
Mean. You know what's so sad though? Like my own mom and I don't get along very well. Like I seriously like to have a maternal person approve of me. I'm like, oh, like when she said that today, I was like, oh yeah, thanks, mom.
Yeah.
That's how sick I am in my head.
You're not sick. It's not sick.
Yeah.
That's sweet.
Yeah.
Well, that means a lot coming from you. I really appreciate that.
Yeah.
Because I think that women now are, I agree with you, it's way more apathetic. And to me, it seems the culture is getting way more superficial and dumber than it was, I don't know, maybe 10 or 15 years ago. Like, I watch TV now, and the sitcoms are just so fucking depressing and sad. And it's all about, I don't know, it's all about bullshit. I don't see anything. I mean, how do you feel? You had a show that changed everything, and now it just seems like it's all bullshit. Why is that?
Because it is all bullshit. That's why it seems that way, because it is.
I love, there's one quality I just love in people. I don't care who you are, what walk of life. I love that directness in people. I love it.
I do too.
When they just go like, because it is bullshit. I can sit down and listen to that person talk all day.
Do you think that Mitt Romney would ever say that in an interview?
Mitt Romney. No.
Or Obama even. Yeah, because it is bullshit.
I mean, that's
pretty fucking cool.
It's just like that kind of stuff just appeals to no end to me, to have that type of,
Me too.
You just don't see that. Yeah, it is. It really is, man.
Because you know what? But you know what's fucked up, Tommy?
Yeah.
Is that we're so not used to hearing people give their real opinion and be honest that when somebody does it, it's a revolutionary thing.
Yeah.
And it shouldn't be that way. I don't know why Americans balk at just saying what they think, what they really think and feel.
They do.
And I don't know why it's so shocking that someone will say, hey, that's fucking bullshit. It's really pathetic.
I feel like most people want what we're talking about. We want
truth.
Like most people want that. But then there's this group of people who are like, no, put this veil over it. Like, don't be direct with people.
But don't you think our listeners, I think our listeners dig
our
it.
Listeners are 100% down with speaking
the truth.
Of course,
yeah, man.
And not with a particular candidate. I'm saying being fucking honest about
it. Keeping it real.
Keeps it real, man.
Shit.
You ain't my bitch, nigga. Buy your own damn fries. Now, you know that guy ain't shit. Sorry ass motherfucker got nothing on me, right? Nothing. There are white folks, and then there are ignorant motherfuckers like you.
I mean, there you go.
That was Obama? Oh, my God.
That was, shit, I lost my place in our interview.
Ah, perfect. Well,
you know.
I really wish Obama happens. Would say that.
Something about it, as opposed to just sitting around and hating
later.
And, you're taking it right to the end.
Maybe 10 or 15 years ago. Like, I watch TV now, and it... The sitcoms are just so fucking depressing and sad, and it's all about,
I don't know. It's all about bullshit. I don't see anything. I mean, how do you feel? You had a show that changed everything, and now it just seems like it's all bullshit. Why is that?
Because it is all bullshit. That's why it seems that way, because it is. Give yourself permission to step over the line, man. Step over there.
Yeah?
Yeah, it is all bullshit, every fucking bit of it. Every goddamn last bit of it is nothing but bullshit.
And that's why you should be our president.
That is why. And not just that I have the guts to tell the truth and to fearlessly look into the face of it, but also more than that, I think, is that I'm the only candidate who, A, writes their own speeches, and B, thinks for themselves, and C, has actually invented actual solutions to problems. And I'd like to run them down for you, since we are talking about that.
Give it to us.
Here are my solutions.
Yeah.
Here are my solutions and the things I would do if elected president of the United States. I would kick out the Federal Reserve, exactly. That would be my first thing to do, exactly as Iceland did. And that would cause an immediate economic recovery in this country, as it did in Iceland, because we would no longer go by fiat currency. We would move instead to the gold standard, much like Iceland did and like Putin wants to do, which is the reason we want to go to war in Iran. So this is just currency wars. People mistakenly call it oil wars, but it's about currency. And currency is all about the Federal Reserve and the International Monetary Fund. And you should read about that, because that's what determines how many people are going to starve to death this year, and, you know, for business reasons, of course, for profit. And I'm for getting rid of that entire obsolete patriarchal system and replacing it with a system that actually works for human beings, not just for a very few at the expense of the many, but for all. And, you know, the Federal Reserve would have to go, and I would also make sure that, to take it to the United Nations, that we would also, at this time in this new century, be done with slavery in any form, and also with usury, which again ties into the Federal Reserve and the IMF and fiat currency. We would no longer be dependent on enslaving human beings to make a profit.
But you know what I think she's referring to? Because usury, I had to look it up. It's when you can't pay back a debt. So, for instance, on her website, it talks about like student loan debt, which right now in 2010, she said in 2010, I think the average person graduates from undergrad with like $25,000 of
that's
debt.
Surprisingly low. I would think it's more than that even.
Because that's about what I graduated with. I think I graduated undergrad with $18,000. 2 weeks in law school cost me $6,000.
That's crazy.
A 2 week mistake. So I think it's, she wants to abolish that debt, like forgive the debt.
Forgive the debt?
Student loan debt.
Yeah.
Yeah, man. Why not? You can't start a life. You know how hard it is. You start your life as a 20-year-old kid.
Yeah, but think about that business, that's from a business proposal right there. Just forgive student loans?
Hey, man. It's Roseanne's world.
I know. I'm just saying I think that's... I don't agree.
Well, there's got to be a way, right? There's some solution.
Well, yeah. I don't think forgiving student loan debt is it.
I think it is. And then...
Let all people that owe money...
Let them go. No, and then free keggers for everybody. That's the point.
Oh, keggers. Yeah, that is a good idea. You should be on her in her cabinet.
Wait a minute. Maybe I can help her with her economic policy.
Yeah, yeah. Okay.
I have a firm grasp of all of this.
Should we?
Sorry, yeah.
No, I just didn't know. Do you want to keep playing this?
I mean, let her finish out her policy. I want people
I think
to know.
I mean, you know, look,
this
is not our usual interview, but it's a pretty unique circumstance.
Yeah, it's pretty
This
cool.
is a bonus episode, right? This is an extra episode. I think it's pretty unique to have the actual presidential candidate, who is also a world famous comedian, talking to you about their
position. Well, let's hear what else she has to say.
That's not the way the world should be anymore. We're smarter than that, and I think that it's time for that. Time for peace and solutions. Time for a green economy. Time for like people to invest in America and actually invest in food and things that are going to help us put food into the mouths of the hungry people. If indeed we can put satellites all over the earth and on every planet, we can figure that out, and we should. Otherwise, we're just lemmings. And I'm against lemming rule, and I'm against lemming thought, And that seems to be exactly where we're at. The other thing I would do is to nationalize Monsanto before another country does it, because it's an international corporation, and another country such as Iceland or Spain or one of these others who want to, you know, move off of our petrodollar system, another country will definitely nationalize the all having to do with Monsanto. I'd like to see the United States do it, because the United States built a middle class by agriculture after World War II. Farmland and growing food for the world. We were the breadbasket of the world. I'd like to see us return our economy to that, and that means to the...
I like that. I like nationalizing Monsanto, definitely. I think that's a fantastic position.
Well, too, and we used to have a pretty healthy middle class.
Yeah.
And it doesn't exist anymore.
The auspices of the small family farms rather than huge international farming, which is just basically inventing plastics for people to eat and cause cancer, where the same people then get a payoff for cancer treatment. So, you know, it's like consolidating everything into fewer and fewer hands means that somebody like Romney owns insurance companies, and with that money he gets payoffs when people get cancer, and when they have cancer treatment, he gets payoffs by keeping the drug wars going. Every time a teenager is arrested and put in prison, the Romney conglomerates make money there too. When they're locked up, when they're put in prison, when they are used as a manufacturing base for American labor, which is what it is now, because 90% of the house paint manufactured in the United States of America this time is manufactured by prison labor, and how they keep those prisons full is how this economy runs, as well as how many people we kill in Iraq or Afghanistan or Syria or any place else we're going. That's a dollar in Romney's pocket. I do think it's about as evil as it ever has been, and it continues to threaten to get even more evil, and at the expense of the civil rights of and individual rights and everything that America was about, you know, is gone, threatened, and under attack. So that's more reasons why I'm running for president. And there won't be anybody like me. Just want to say, there won't be another candidate like me after this year. Nobody is going to be allowed to get on the ballot 2016. There probably won't be any third parties on the ballot. This is the year. 2012 is the year.
I agree.
That's pretty incredible.
That's pretty good, because I think she might be right that they'll make it way harder for somebody to run.
Yeah.
Well, so that's there you have it, you guys. And if you agree with Roseanne, vote for her. You can go to RoseanneWorld.com and check out her stances if you want to know more.
Mm-hmm.
I love it. I love her tenacity. I love her braveness. I love that she's doing this.
She also has Roseanne for President 2012.org. Pretty interesting stuff. It is a unique, candidate, unique position to get it. And she did it, man. She's on the ballot. She is, we mistakenly say a couple times here in some other recordings that she was Green Party. You thought she was.
Yeah, sorry, that was a mistake.
But she's Peace and Freedom Party.
Right.
So there are, on the ballot, there was Green, Republican, Libertarian, Peace and Freedom Democratic. I think those are all of them that were on the ballot.
Order your alcohol with DoorDash today and drink in the savings. Use code YMH24 to get 25% off, up to $15 value on a $35 minimum subtotal on your next alcohol order for eligible users only. The alcohol selection on DoorDash is top shelf. With thousands of stores all over the country, you're sure to find what you're looking for and more. Beer, wine, mixers, mocktails, and more can be delivered straight to your door. Save up to 25% off, up to $15 value when you spend $35 or more with code YMH24. So whether you're grabbing drinks for an event or staying in for the night, DoorDash is here to help you have a great evening any evening. Terms apply. Must be 21 or older to order alcohol. Drink responsibly. Delivery and promotions available only in select markets.
So we discussed this afterwards. You had this call. We're like, wow, it's pretty incredible. And we decided, I mean, how do you decipher put information like this? Who do you talk to really get guidance in your life?
Well, who do you decide on, you know, who to vote for? I go to my elders. I go to my father.
Yeah.
Because he knows what the fuck is up. My dad's lived through a lot of stuff.
Dad knows what. You're the only dad I ever know.
They knows what to do.
Yeah.
So yeah, we asked our dads.
We asked our dads to weigh in and tell us what they thought. And we got real into it, man. Like, our dads didn't pull any punches. Right.
Well, you know, in the line of honoring people that speak their minds, our dads are not a couple of dads that hold back.
Very, very direct dads.
They're going to say what the fuck they want when they want.
So first up, we got Top Dog sharing some of his views. And well, you know what that means.
Hey, buddy. It's Top Dog. Hey, buddy. Top Dog. Hey, buddy. It's Top Dog.
You need to wipe down.
It's Top Dog.
Now, I'm not going to lie. I mean, you guys know Top Dog. He's old school. He's Marine, conservative. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. We get right into it, man. Here's what he had to say.
Hello?
Hello?
Hey.
Hey, hey, buddy.
Hey, buddy. How are you?
Doing pretty good. Okay. What's up, bro?
Well, we got the official Green Party candidate that the interview.
That's right. Yeah.
Fucked up.
You told
Peace
me
and
Green
freedom.
Party.
Sorry.
What party the candidate? Out.
The Green Party candidate.
Ah, peace and freedom.
I know.
Shit.
Who's Roseanne Barr? Fuck. Remember the television star of this comedian?
Oh, yeah. Oh, I can't stand her.
Oh no.
Oh, really? Why?
Oh, jeez.
Oh, I just think, I mean, she's so obnoxious. You know,
yeah.
She is, you know, and her positions are not supported by research. They're just,
oh, Jesus.
You know, she, the basis for her opinions is just by being loud.
What the? Again, you know what? He's a patriarchy. Like, that's why. Top Dog.
Oh, yeah?
This is patriarchal nonsense.
Oh, yeah, this is good. All right.
You know, a hurricane is there, and you have to deal with it. It's like her.
Oh, jeez.
Right. Oh, so she's like a hurricane.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, she is.
Oh,
I mean, Jesus.
Do you think, what are her chances of winning this election, what do you think?
Okay, I think the chances that the next Olympics will be on Mars are greater than her winning.
Wow.
Well, and that would be the 2016 Olympics or the 2020?
I think well, the
I'm glad you clarified, Tommy. Thank you.
Brazil.
Thanks.
So I think so the 2020 Olympics, yeah. I think they'd be greater for her to have those on Mars than her to win the election.
You guys are knocking my candidate here.
She did have a good show, though. I liked her show a lot. Did you like her show?
No.
What?
You know, I don't like most liberal shows.
It's not really a liberal show.
It's a family
sitcom. But that's Top Dog, man.
The one I do actually like.
This is hilarious.
Believe it or not, is Ellen DeGeneres.
What?
Not liberal.
Yeah, that's a talk show, though.
I know. I like her show.
He loves Ellen.
What do you think in general?
Can you process that for
no,
a second?
No, he goes, I don't like liberal. And then Ellen, who's like,
Ellen.
Who's the biggest lesbian liberal on the planet?
He's like, I like Ellen.
He likes Ellen. You know why, though? Because Ellen's not loud and in your face, and Roseanne is loud and in your face.
Right.
And he doesn't like it because it's not ladylike. It's
now, I think Roseanne would be like, oh, he doesn't like a broad that talks, but she doesn't know who he's married to. he doesn't
oh,
like
right,
a broad
right.
that talks. All right.
Right.
What about liberals?
Well, you know, they have this unrealistic view of the world. They don't understand that everything in life has to be paid for by somebody. And this theory is, we'll just get the rich to pay for it. Well, when you run out of rich... Then how are you going to do it? So I think that they confuse good intentions with reality. And the reality is there's not enough money to go around.
What? Are there a shortage of rich people now? I don't think there's ever been a shortage of the wealthy.
Well, yeah, he's saying that that's the problem with like left-leaning economic policies.
Right.
Is that, no, they're always are saying, you know, they're always adding things to pay for it. There's a spending problem.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, but then, you know, just charge it to Richie. Charge it to the man.
That's what he's saying.
Take down Whitey. That's what I'm saying. I like that policy.
But that policy's okay.
That's a good policy.
But where's the money going to come from?
The man. Look, the man's got all the money.
You sound like Jesus Christ.
What? Roseanne's right. The man's got all the money, and we got to take down the man.
You should be her spokeswoman.
I am.
Now,
huge fan.
What is your position on the two, let's say, favored candidates? Realistic possible winners, Romney and Obama. What do you think of Mitt Romney as a candidate?
Well, you know, I think I'm voting for Romney.
Can you believe that?
Can you believe that?
I love him so much.
I know.
And the only reason that, like, it's hard for me to to process this, but I go, the only reason actually that I can deal with him saying that is because he is well-informed and intelligent and chooses to do that. You know what I mean?
Yes, like, yes.
He actually is choosing that, knowing everything.
Yeah. Well, your father is not a dopey guy. He's an intelligent man.
Yeah,
he's
yeah.
a conservative.
Listen,
he was in the Marines. He's just a conservative guy.
I know.
That's
I
his
know.
Values.
I still love him, but
of course,
it's hard.
I still love him.
It's hard. It's
of
hard
course.
To hear.
But, you know, he reminds me of a computer-generated candidate. I mean, he's like the best-looking presidential candidate in modern time. You know, I mean, he doesn't have any physical flaws. He's almost so. If you told a computer to design a candidate,
it would spit out
Romney. Seriously, it would. He reminds me. You know, I expect to go to Toys R Us. And in the Barbie section, find Mitt Romney in a Barbie case, okay?
Okay.
Yeah, that's a good, that's true. He looks kind of like, actually, like Ken.
Yeah,
what
he
do
does.
You think, why are you going to vote for him, though?
Because he is the candidate that is going to address our problems with the fact that Obama has put on $4 trillion of new debt. And his solution is, well, if we just tax the rich, 250 and up, we'll solve that problem. No, you don't. If you tax 250 and up, you're still going to have a $1 trillion deficit. So I think he just hasn't dealt with reality. And the truth of the matter is, if you look the last 4 years, you know, he passed Obamacare, which I don't think is going to work. And so we basically So we had 4 years of basically press conferences. Now, the guy's a great speaker. You know, he'll probably, after he leaves office, you know, start his own teleprompter company, okay? Because the guy is great with a teleprompter. He is.
I do think Obamacare is going to work. I have faith in it. I hope it works.
I hope it works, too. I'm kind of about it. I like it so far.
Yeah, I know. I'm just saying I hope. I mean, you know. It's kind of early to say whether it's going to be a success or failure, obviously, but I do hope it works. I love the idea behind the universal healthcare plan. I feel like healthcare is something personally that should be provided to people, whether or not they have money or not.
Well, I mean, we're one of the wealthiest countries in the world. We should have healthcare.
Yeah,
for it's bananas that we don't.
I know.
It's retarded.
It's a glib public speaker, but behind all the speeches and stuff, he really hasn't done anything.
I disagree with that, too.
And he blames the Republicans. It's interesting how he blames the Republicans for everything that went wrong, yet he takes credit for the 4 million new jobs. So he's a candidate.
That's every politician, though. That's not
well, of course they do that.
Right, but that's I'm pointing that out to him, that, like, He's saying that, like, Obama, like, but that's what all politicians are, play the spin game. That's what it's all about.
But the truth of the matter is that, you know, we really haven't done that well the last 4 years. You know, still too many people don't have jobs.
Yeah, but, I mean, he did inherit quite a problem when he got to office.
Well, of course he did. Yeah. Listen, he inherited a big problem. He inherited a big problem. And the one thing he did, he actually did two things that I like.
Here we go.
I was in favor of the auto bailout, and it worked. And the Republicans, you know, I'm a Republican, but my Republican friends forget, most Americans forget this because they're not in tune politically like I am. We bailed out Lockheed Aircraft in 1974.
Oh.
Yeah.
$250 million. We forgot about that. Okay. The Republicans were all in favor of that. And he killed Osama bin Laden. Okay. So
those are the two things.
Those are the top.
Signs off on.
So we have this Measure B.
Oh, that's when I get into Measure B, but that was whatever.
Well, listen, we can't judge Top Dog.
No.
He likes who he likes. You can't judge anybody for their political leanings.
And here's the other thing, too. You can't sway that man. But can I tell you the thing that's the most upsetting to me?
Hmm.
Is I'm cool and under control, but I've had conversations with him where I get like fired up about this type of shit.
Hmm.
He doesn't even raise his voice. Like you're not going to sway him. You're not going to change his mind.
Mm-hmm.
You're also not going to get he's not going to get like passionate.
You can't handle the truth. He's not going to do that.
He stays totally chill. Like he's in a bunker and there's enemy fire coming.
And the Viet Cong are all over Charlie's at him.
He stays in control. He doesn't, like, I get like, what the fuck? He does not do any of that.
Because your father has actually very cogent thoughts. He has the stuff thought out. This is his theory, how he likes his world to be.
Yep. Well, let's...
The Viet Cong can't change that.
They're not going to change that. Now, after I called my dad... Well, Christina, you called.
I called my dad because I thought, you know what? We haven't had my dad on the show in a while. And my father and I have been discussing the debates every time they air, and he's so opinionated
mm-hmm.
that I thought, what a wonderful way to round out this discussion.
Yeah.
And so let's get into it. I called him tonight, and this is what he had to say.
This is what he had to say.
What do you think of Roseanne running for president?
I don't know. I haven't seen her for years. I don't know. She's just as good or bad as the other ones. Maybe a little crazier. At least she speaks whatever she feels. But the other to want to say whatever you want to hear. I watched her once in some kind of a show. Where she was talking about that, and you know her, she's saying things that people know it's true, but it's still too crazy for a country.
Well, look at your dad there. He's giving her the props of saying what's true.
And he says that America is not ready to hear it, and that's I agree with him on that. Yeah,
yeah,
he's right.
Because nobody wants to admit to it and stuff.
Yeah.
So what do you think about Romney? That piece of weird
Romney, I told you, I sent you some messages. He's just a car salesman. Like a really, and he's pretty smart, actually, meaning that he's got brains. But still, I think that he's an arrogant asshole. And I don't care. Yeah. At the third debate, he was tried to be a nice guy and all this bullshit. But he's an arrogant asshole.
Okay, first of all,
don't you love it?
I love it so much.
Yeah.
And this goes back to what I loved about Roseanne.
Yeah.
In that interview when she said it's bullshit because mm-hmm. it is bullshit. That's why you think it's bullshit.
Mm-hmm.
Your dad is a straight shooter. Mm-hmm. Always has been. And he just, He always said, and I almost feel like you see this more in foreigners have less of that American, like, oh, I just
veil
want to
of normalcy.
Yeah, he's just like, that's fucking
stupid,
right? And everybody, yeah, give me a fucking break. You see Mitt Romney, that guy is a fucking car salesman. He is an arrogant. He has that shit eating bullshit grin.
Yeah,
he totally does. And it's the kind of grin that you do see there at a car salesman shop. And you're like, and your dad's the kind of guy who's like me, where when you see that, you go, I hate this guy.
Yeah,
and that's exactly what your dad feels when he sees him.
Well, you know why my dad fucking escaped from communist Hungary to come to this country, and he loves America. First of all, we're American. We all became naturalized in 1994, so we are American. We can vote. And he has no tolerance for bullshit because the Hungarians in general don't fuck around. I mean, you just tell people what's up.
I think Roseanne might be the candidate for him.
I think Roseanne and my dad should get married.
He has no idea what's really going on in a world. He went to Europe and made an asshole out of himself. It's just nothing. Nothing. The guy is absolutely... I think that if you want another Bush era, then we're gonna get him to be a president. It's the same old. It's terrible. It makes me sick. Fucking guy.
I think that he's so far removed from reality. You know, he grew up so privileged and he has so much money. It's like he doesn't even know what the fuck is really going on. Like, would you even trust him to be your president?
It's not even if he wasn't, he didn't grow up rich. Still, I mean, he maybe even saw more of the world than we did, or know more about things than we do. But still, he's an arrogant fucking idiot. I don't like his style, the way he talked to the president the first time. Or the second time, except the second time, Obama didn't let him get away with it. And I just, the guy totally remind me for a salesman when you walk into some cheap fucking Toyota dealer or something, and these are the guys standing there. He's the sales manager.
Sales manager.
You know?
That's what I love.
The sales manager is a step below the GM. He's the guy who's just in charge of the sales.
My father, it's so funny that he specifically made the guy a sales manager. I love that so much. Funny.
Salesman of the car lot. He totally is. Like a used car lot, though, right? It's like a really shitty used car lot. Like, he's so greasy and slimy,
Look, everything, his haircut, his shirt, he's tried to be chum-chum, and he rolls up his sleeves, and then sometimes his jeans on, so he shows that, he's like an everyday guy. He has jeans on now.
He has jeans on. And then you laugh right there.
It's just, he's an everyday guy. He has jeans on now. And it's just... the fucking guy is just really more like a creepy guy, I think.
Creepy.
It's creepy.
I don't hear any honest sentence out of his mouth.
I'm loving this, man.
Right, and like you said, at least Roseanne is honest. She says what she feels.
Yeah, at least he could say that. You know, I realize that for. They never talk about Bush number one. That's an absolute no-no, right?
Right.
Of course I like Obama. I like Michelle. I like those girls. I think that he's a normal, down-to-earth guy. I was expecting, actually, that he would make a lot of mistakes in that four years. He didn't make any mistakes. One thing bothers me, and that's what the only thing I heard from Romney and in those debates that kind of made me think that about Obamacare. I don't know what the fuck is that Obamacare. Do you know?
No, not specifically. No. I mean, I couldn't tell you.
I don't know what it is, and believe me, I read. I have no idea what the fuck is this Obamacare and why did they spend 2 years on it instead.
But you know what it is, right?
I mean, I have a vague, I can't tell you specifics. I can't tell you what the fuck it really, what it specifically entails.
Well, I mean, it entails a lot, but it's essentially going to get uninsured people insured. And then,
right, I get that.
You can't be turned away if you have a
pre-existing conditions. Yep. Right, I get that, but I'm saying that I don't know the ins and outs of it. Like, if someone were to quiz me on it.
Well, no, I mean, really?
Yeah.
You don't know what's in code 257,
right.
Chapter
2. I consider that knowledge.
But you understand it's about. Yes. It's universal health care.
But what so I do. My dad just rambles on about Obama. Okay. To hear it. But there you go. Two different opposing views from two different dads.
Two different dads.
My two dads and Roseanne, everybody has different opinions. And that's the beauty of this country.
We can't drop a top dog segment on you, have it be all about politics.
Meow, 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 meow.
And you feel like that's all you're going to give us? That's the top dog that we... What about the guy that we grew to love? What happened to that guy? Well, he's still here, guys.
Cool. I'm in the new place now, right?
You're in a new place? Yeah, you got nice.
You know, I got big news about this place.
What?
I took my first dump here today.
Oh, what a moment. God, you know, there are certain times when you remember the first, you know, we all kind of remember the first a lot of things. But I do remember some of my first dumps when I go to a new place. By the way, I wanted to ask you, because I thought of this today at work. I went into our bathroom at work today, and it's a two different stalls. Do you think most people have their favorite stall when they have a choice?
Hmm. Hmm. If it is a free...
Can you do that again?
Hmm. It's interesting.
Is it a place that you go to regularly?
Right.
I think it happens subconsciously. I don't even think you even think about it.
May I weigh in on the issue?
Mm-hmm.
So you're saying it's a subconscious choice.
I think that like if you go, work in a building, you work in an office,
mm-hmm.
what he's saying, I think you don't go like, I like this stall more. You just end up going to that same stall all the time.
Mm.
If you have multiple stalls, you don't think so?
Negative. I actually, here's what I base my decision on.
Uh-huh.
In every public stall, because I heard somewhere that the first stall is the least used because everybody assumes that the first one is the most used and therefore nobody uses it.
I'm fascinated by this.
So I use the first stall because it's the most unused and therefore the less bacteria on it. That's my theory.
Hmm. Okay. So yours is yours is very thought out. I think for me it happens a little more just organically.
Just natural.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm just drawn to a certain stall.
Yeah, I go to the left one. Here's the other thing which I do. When I go to airports and places like that, I always go into the handicap stall first.
Yeah.
Now, first of all...
Because it's more spacious.
Well, there's more space. You know, particularly when you really have... So they usually have a wash sink in the handicap stall. So if you're sitting in the handicap stall and you got a sloppy Joe... You got a little splatter on the old cheeks.
Mm.
What you want to do is get some of that paper and you kind of get up and you kind of waddle over to the sink to put a little water on there because you got to start cleaning that stuff off. If you're
Didn't
in
you
one of...
Did you get some on your cheeks the other day?
Huh?
Didn't you get some on your cheeks the other day?
Yeah, I did. Okay, but I was in a two-staller, you know, and I didn't have, you know, I couldn't, but I, that's why I like handicap stalls. Because you can
What did you do when you were in regular stall?
I spit on the toilet paper and then I use that to kind of wipe it off.
What? What? Did I just not fucking? That didn't register properly. Did I just hear that? I don't know what's more horrifying: the Clorox wipes, or that he just admitted that he spits on the sweat, or that he likes Mitt Romney. I'm not sure what's the most horrifying part of this whole podcast.
That is the truth, man.
What top dog? What is going on?
Oh, shit.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
He spit
on the toilet paper and I use that to kind of wipe it off.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, I did. That's what I do. I go spit on it, and that kind of just, you know, gives me a little, like, water to kind of,
right.
Like,
you also told me you had a breakthrough, like, almost like a medical journal breakthrough the other day about about pimples on the butt.
Oh, this is,
we've all had guys get, I don't know if women get this shit. They have such small shit, they probably don't. But guys, you get pimples on your butt. Ever since I switched to countertop wipes. I take a countertop wipe and I kind of just wipe the cheek, each cheek clean. Kills everything on the butt. I don't get pimples on my butt anymore.
You know why? You know why he doesn't get pimples on his butt after using a Clorox wipe?
Why?
Because he's burned the layer of epidermis off.
Right, with ammonia?
With ammonia. That can get acne on it.
That's healthy, right?
Totally good.
You should also use like ammonia on your face to clean it every day.
Facial wipes. Definitely on your genitals. I'm going to start using them on my janny.
Yeah, you should. I'm going to start on my penis highs. I'm going to put ammonia on it.
Kitty.
Wait, can I ask something though? I'm sorry. One moment. I'm still stuck on him spitting on the toilet paper.
Yeah.
Now he's in the handicap stall.
No, not in the handicap stall.
Okay, so he can't go out and put water on
because
the...
his pants are around his ankles.
I see. Okay. Yeah. Now I'm clear.
Do you think you should let maybe the medical association know about that? Like let that world know about
it? I think so. You know, I mean, let's face it.
Let's face it.
I mean,
it'll be like
pickles on their butt. Plus the fact, you know, I'm not one of these guys that. He lays out the toilet paper on it when you're in an airport or something like that. And when I got to go, I sit down immediately. You know?
Who cares? It's on the seat, right? Yeah.
Exactly. Okay.
But now, let me ask this real quick.
All right. We're going to wrap this up, actually. This has been...
There's no more?
There is more.
Okay.
All right. Are we going to play it?
Yeah, I like it.
All right. Well, shit. Why not?
Two quick questions.
Mm-hmm.
First, game time prediction. Who's going to win the election? What do you think?
Okay, even though I'm voting for Romney, I think Obama's going to win the election.
Yes. All right, so there you have it. A conservative guy is giving you the truth right there.
All right, and you heard it right there. Top Dog calls Obama. And, of course, I can't believe we didn't ask this earlier. What if you were president? If Top Dog were president, would there be, like, free toilet paper for everybody?
Well, I definitely would make countertop wipes. I would make that kind of a requirement in all public government facilities. We help
industrial strength countertop.
Of course. Oh yeah, you got to go with the industrial strength countertop. Kills 99.99% of.
He's obsessed with his countertop.
I know.
Wipes. Obsessed.
Why aren't just the government buildings?
Anything out there? Okay. I think the only thing it doesn't kill is anthrax on contact, okay? And I would put them in all, make them a requirement in all, you can't smoke in government buildings, I'd put these in every bathroom, okay? And you would see a cleaner, also cut down, because people don't always wash their hands, let's face it. People wash their hands when they see somebody else in the bathroom, but if there's nobody there, most of them don't wash their hands.
Right? You know, I believe that's known as projection in the psychology world, where you assume everybody's doing what you're doing, right?
Oh man,
no, buddy.
Well, you know, if you're holding a countertop wipe, your fingers are going to be on that. So that's going to kill the bugs on your fingers. So it's a public safety. It'd be my first public safety initiative.
Uh-huh. You're really championing the countertop wipes. Really.
They work.
You really believe it.
Yeah. They work.
Let me tell you something. They work. I haven't had a pimple in my butt in months.
Okay. So, yeah, there's some more Top Dog for you. And, you know, we don't hide the truth on this show, man.
No.
Give it to you good.
You know what today was? This was the realest episode. This was some real shit.
It was. It was really real.
That was really neat to hear everybody's, because politics is very personal.
It is personal.
It's like religion. I don't often share my political views in public because I don't think it's anybody's business, really.
I know, but we gave you...
But we did it today because we felt it was a timely thing, and there you go. Maybe we learned something today.
It was pretty awesome that we got to... You had a real presidential candidate on,
yes.
And we hope whoever you vote for, that you always keep your mommies in mind. You know, we gave you this episode, like I said, as a bonus, and we have a new episode coming out in 2 days. Come back on Wednesday, and we'll have a brand new episode. And just to give you a hint,
oh my god, you guys,
of who is going to be on Wednesday, well, just see if this sounds familiar.
Yeah, you guys must have sent out a tweet or something, because I've had about 100 guys from people that have listened to your podcast, and they're like, "Do Mom's House, Do Mom's House, Do Mom's House."
Who does that sound like? Does it sound like, I don't know?
The Brace Philosophy. The Brace Philosophy. The Brace Philosophy. The Brace Philosophy. The Brace Philosophy.
How excited are you?
You guys, I can't wait for you to hear this. We got him. Dude. He's in the mommy dome.
He's in the mommy dome. He's coming to do the show. We already have amazing, amazing interview with this guy.
Yeah,
it's and it's all because of you guys, man. And we also, I don't know, at this point, the results will be in from the, what's it called? The Stitcher Awards voting.
Oh, so
but
we'll
a lot of you guys have been tweeting us every day. I voted. I don't know what's going to happen with that, but it's very cool that you did.
It is. You know what it shows? Mommy power. And I've with enough even mommies, we got Brace. We got nominated for Stitcher. And who knows what we'll do in the future with you guys.
That's a great way of putting it. Yo, we love you guys. And like I said, new episode this Wednesday with Brace. And it's going to be awesome. Thanks for listening today. And we'll see you guys. We'll be back here in a couple days.
Thanks, mommies. We love you.
Hey, this is Brace, and you're listening to Your Mom's House, and I can wear my jeans as high and as tight as I fucking want to, and if you don't like it, fuck off.
That was amazing. Thanks, man.
Don't get too close because your mic is shot.
For the answer to the master or the MC rap artist, no joke on the lyrics, sorry to be modest. I knew I was the man with the master plan to make it wiggle and jiggle like gelatin. Just think while I sink into the brink structure.
Yo, sleep on the E.
You see something might rupture. It don't take time for me to blow your mind. Take a second to wreck it because you're dumb and blind. So just lounge. Cause you an MC glamour on the circus. You B&B's in town.
Total chaos. No mass confusion. Rhyme so hypnotizing, known to cause an illusion. Like a magician, he pulls a rabbit out of hat, son. I'm pulling more like a 44 Magnum. Nipsey Priest, I'm looking, listen, and try to imagine. He's traveling the speed of light, but everything's motion. He's frightened. Plus, the thought you alone, you're now interdimension called the Twilight Zone. You're terrified.
Terrified.
Plus, you can't bear the thought. You and I, one on one, in the land of the lost. You start to shiver, but then you scream, my friend. You wake up monthly because you're dreaming again. But next time I'm on the scene, do not try to distance. Keep your mouth shut, suck a duck, because I'm strictly this. This is the rap season where the E starts pleasing. Girls around the world don't need to be skeezing. When I roll, I stroll. Cool, always pack a tooth just in case.
Just in case.
My brother acts a fool, I got the energy to put the girls in the frenzy. Put in shock when I rock him enough, I'm not stingy. Make sure I don't bore when I'm on the dance floor.
Get busy, boys,
like you never saw before. Run flow, good to go. After the show, I put your whole boy. Run flow, good to go. After the show, I put your whole boy. Run flow, good to go. After the show, I put your whole boy. Run flow, good to go. After the show, I put your whole boy.